Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. On today's show, Allison Flett from the RMWB and the Miksu Cree First Nation joins us to talk about the Indigenous Sports Gallery. Also on the show, Alberta RCMP Sergeant Darren Turnbull talks about April's traffic safety spotlight, speeding. Lastly, Reagan Gale of Pinckney Financial joins us to talk about the Bank of Canada's decision to hold the key interest rate steady at 5%. Joining us on the phone here today is Allison Flett. She is the Indigenous and Rural Relations Advisor for RMWB. She's also a member of the Miksu Cree First Nation. Allison, how are you doing here today?
Very good. How are you?
Doing well as well, Allison. Here today to chat about the Indigenous Sports Gallery. What should we know about it?
So the Indigenous Sports Gallery is a way where we can share and uplift the stories of our youth, athletes, and community members of our local six First Nations and six Métis communities here in the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, advancing Call to Action 87 and really bringing it to a regional level for us.
So what was the intention of this gallery when it was created?
The intention was to honor our athletes and their sporting achievements and the ongoing contributions of the members of our local First Nation and Métis communities to really instill a sense of pride and belonging and connection to our region.
I understand this will be a traveling gallery. Why make it so that it's a traveling gallery instead of just a set in one location?
So in our region, we have a hub, which is Fort McMurray, and then we have rural communities of Fort Chipewyan, Anzac, Conklin, Janvier, and Fort McMurray. And we want to share with our region. Our region is very close, so we want all the communities to get to experience and share these stories.
I understand nominations for this traveling Indigenous Sports Gallery are open now. So tell us about that nomination process to be part of this gallery.
So we've put out the call for nominations, and we've gone through Facebook and our website. You simply just click the link, and you can nominate a youth athlete, a community builder, or a local legend. We have three different nominations. The criteria pops up when you click the link to put in your nomination. It really will probably take you about 5 minutes.
That sounds good. What impact do you hope this gallery will have on Indigenous communities and the broader public?
I think it's our time to tell the story through the Indigenous lens and just to share the talent that we have within our Indigenous communities. And it's a legacy of the Arctic Winter Games that we're carrying. So the intent is to really highlight the positive contributions that these athletes and community members make within our region.
What can you tell us about the process of creating the gallery's exhibits and collecting the artifacts that will go into this gallery?
So the gallery was thought up when I was working at the Arctic Winter Games as the cultural manager. We were looking at the calls to action for sport and wondering how we could advance those calls and how could we bring them to a regional level. And the sports gallery was what we had come up with, and we had great success when we brought it through the Arctic Winter Games when we hosted last year. And then we thought, how do we carry this legacy? How do we keep this feel-good gallery going? And we just continue to do the work, and the gallery will be built in probably a bit of a different style because we just want to change it up a little bit this year. So we'll still make it a traveling gallery. It'll just look a little different.
Long term, Allison, what role do you see the gallery playing in promoting the cultural aspect sports play for Indigenous communities?
I think it really will show the dedication that we have to keeping our traditional sports like Dene games. And we have athletes that have gone to the Arctic Winter Games for that, and they've been highlighted in the gallery. So I think any of the athletes will be great role models for our communities. And then we have community builders and local legends. And I just think it's really something for our community to positively look at.
So how do you incorporate storytelling and oral traditions into this gallery experience as well?
We share their story, their story of sport and how they became to be the athlete or the community builder that they are. If you look at the local legend category, that's an individual who's passed on to the spirit world, but they left a lasting impact within our community, and they contributed to the development of sport. When I think of a local legend, I think of Big Man Grandjam, a guy from our community that passed, but he was always there organizing the hockey games. He was unlocking the arena. He was putting together tournaments within our community and really honoring our ancestors.
Allison, we talked about the nomination process a little bit early on, but how long do people have to make their nominations for this gallery?
The nominations will close May 3rd.
And so when will we know who has been nominated for this gallery?
So the selection process will happen after May 3rd, and then the induction ceremony will happen June 5th.
Alrighty, sounds good. Allison Fletch, the Indigenous and Rural Relations Advisor for RMWB and member of the Miksu Cree First Nation. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, I just really want to encourage everyone to nominate from your community.
Great stuff, Allison. Thank you so much for your time here today.
Nanaskamun.
Thanks for joining us on Fort McMurray Matters. We'll be back with more after the break.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Sergeant Darren Turnbull from the Alberta RCMP. Sergeant, how's it going here today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well as well. Sergeant, what should Albertans know about speeding?
Well, April, the traffic safety focus for the month of April is speeding. And so Alberta RCMP will be on the watch for people who are driving at unsafe speeds or breaking the speed limits here on Alberta highways.
I understand there's some pretty grim stats about speeding. I was wondering if you could touch on those.
Yeah, unfortunately, speeding is a factor in approximately 25% of our fatal motor vehicle collisions here in Alberta. So Alberta RCMP is concentrating on speeding to try and make motorists safer on the highways.
How big of an issue is excessive speeding in Alberta?
Yeah, unfortunately, excessive speeding is an issue here in Alberta. We have, in Alberta, if you're caught traveling more than 50 kilometers per hour over the speed limit, you'll be given a mandatory court date. That's what we consider in the excessive speeding range. And last year in Alberta, it was tragically way too many of those excessive speeding charges that we saw. In the year of 2023, we had 761 motorists that were sent to court for excessive speeding.
Historically speaking, April seems like a rather busy month for speeding. Is that correct?
It is, and it's strategically selected as the month to start to bring the awareness back to our speed limits because the roads are clean and dry, and people seem to be wanting to get to their destinations faster than normal. So that's why we strategically plan April as our speeding enforcement month.
What measures does the RCMP take to enforce these speed limits effectively?
Well, we have a variety of measures that we do to do the speed limit enforcement. Of course, we have the standard radar and laser speed enforcement. But here in Alberta, we also participate in aircraft speed enforcement, where we have officers trained at various locations in the province of Alberta. And you'll see those signs up on the highway warning motorists about aircraft speed enforcement. And it does still happen here in Alberta.
Are there any specific challenges or obstacles in enforcing speed limits effectively?
I guess one of the challenges when we're looking at doing speed enforcement is trying to convince motorists of the importance of obeying the speed limit. It's their safety that we're trying to promote here, because if you're involved in a motor vehicle collision and you're exceeding the speed limit, the chance of becoming involved in the collision goes up, but also the likelihood that you'll be seriously injured or even killed in that crash goes up. The faster you're going, the more chance you're going to get hurt.
What are some of the consequences for drivers caught speeding in Alberta, both in terms of penalties and potential impacts on their driving records?
So in Alberta, when you're issued a violation ticket for speeding, there are demerits and fines associated to that. But depending on how fast you are going and depending on the circumstances, we can actually go with criminal code dangerous driving charges, depending on the nature and the use of the highway at the time of the offense. But as well, the mandatory court dates for speeding, once you're more than 50 kilometers per hour over the speed limit, those, once you're in court, the judge can take away your driver's license and suspend your license for a period of time.
And what are some tips to avoid speeding that the RCMP has?
Always, you know, the tips we have to avoid the speed limit is, or to avoid speeding tickets is to make sure that you're paying attention while you're driving, see those speed limit signs, give yourself lots of time to get to your destination, plan ahead and make sure that you're not leaving yourself running late. We hear the excuses all the time from motorists, oh, sorry, I was just trying to make up a little bit of time on the highway or I was running late. That's a failing to plan your day ahead of yourself. So make sure you leave lots of time. We're going to see increased traffic on the highways now that the summer's coming, and as we go, more and more people are out on the roadway. So you've got to plan ahead for that and give yourself time to arrive.
This is one question I've always wanted to ask. What's the most common excuse for speeders on the highway?
You know, it varies. If you're looking on the highways, I'm sorry, I didn't notice, or sorry, I wasn't paying attention, or excuses like that where they try to lead you to believe that they didn't realize that they were speeding or that they didn't notice that they were above the speed limit. It's your responsibility as a driver of a motor vehicle to make sure that you're obeying the speed limit. So look down at your speedometer and see how fast you're going.
For sure. Sergeant Darren Turnbull of the Alberta RCMP, anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, I think that's good. Thank you.
Good to hear. Sergeant Darren Turnbull, thank you so much for your time here today.
Okay, drive safe.
We'll be back with more next on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Reagan Gale, a senior financial advisor with Pinkney Financial. Reagan, how's it going here today?
Hey, Ryan. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Thank you so much, Reagan, for joining us here today. The Bank of Canada's key interest rate still at 5% after yesterday's announcement. What does that mean for us?
You know, I think the best way to explain what it means for us is to kind of simplify it and go over what exactly it is. So this overnight rate, this is the third consecutive pause. They have kept it the same now since September 2023. And what the overnight rate is, financial institutions like banks and credit unions in Canada have to have a certain amount of cash on deposit every night. Money that's not invested or borrowed or lent out to customers, they have to have it on reserve. If they don't, if they've had an odd day and a bunch of customers all make large cash withdrawals, a bunch of mortgages go through that day for purchases, they could be short. So the banks and credit unions can lend each other money overnight to cover the float. What they charge each other to borrow is that 5%, that overnight rate. So if the Bank of Canada raises that rate, keeps it the same or lowers it, the banks have to come up with how they're going to make up the difference. So what we've seen is an increase in lending rates like mortgages, car loans, your line of credit. So this rate holding steady means we're not going to see any changes. Mortgage rates are going to stay kind of as they have been since September, and we're not going to see any changes just yet. They're holding steady.
The Bank of Canada says core inflation measures have trended downward in recent months, so why haven't they brought down that interest rate?
It's kind of infuriating because that's been the measures, the last few announcements. We've kind of been waiting to see what's going to happen. Inflation came in at 2.8% in February, which is a good number. Bank of Canada likes to see between 1 and 3%, and we're in there. But we're a little too close to that, you know, high end of the range. And they're holding out to see consistency. They want us, you know, they're seeing what they need to see, but they want to see it longer. They want to see more consistency.
How might this decision impact different sectors of the economy, and what implications could this have for investors?
Well, there's two sides of every coin, right? So it's affected people making purchases on houses because it's a little more, bit more expensive than they thought it would be when they started saving up their down payment. But on the other side, to entice us to save our money, we're seeing really nice rates on savings accounts, guaranteed investment certificates, and the stock market's been doing well as well. So it's a double-edged sword, right? The two don't always go hand in hand. If it's cheap to borrow, it's cheap to save.
For sure. The Bank of Canada says a rate cut in June is possible. In your expert opinion, do you believe that could happen?
That's such a hard question, but an easy way to put it, I think, is I don't have my hopes up and I'm not making plans around it. So another announcement will come in June. If we did see a decrease, it would be a small one. Maybe like a 0.25. When these rates hit their peak, I was still in banking, and we were kind of warned that it would take about 2 years for them to come back down, and they'd be very gradual. They wouldn't come down as quickly as they went up.
The bank also expects to reach the inflation target of 2% sometime in 2025. What would that mean for us?
I think it would take us back to a feeling of maybe some normalcy. I know that's a tough concept, too. It's been, you know, years since COVID started and some changes like that. But I think it would feel there wouldn't be so much pressure. You know, anybody renewing a mortgage right now, it's a little tough on their pockets. So I think it would feel a little normal again, but those record low rates of like 1 and 2% for borrowing, like I don't think we would see that again, but it would come down to more of a normal average level, I think.
And with the interest rates staying the same, what advice do you have for individuals looking to make maybe some major financial decisions, such as maybe purchasing their first home or investing in the stock market?
That's a great question, and I have to say, to stay the course and follow through with your long-term plans, you'll find yourself rewarded for long-term financial planning. So if you've been saving up for 5 years to buy a house, you know, stick to your plan, because in any five-year term you look at in history, there's always going to be some kind of political, economical, social event that throws us a little bit in our plans. But if we stay the course, stick to what we're going to do, and remember what our objective was, you know, don't make decisions based on today and try to remove your emotion. Sometimes it hurts to think, okay, well, my portfolio is down a little bit. Stick with what the objective was. It was growth over the long term to retire in 5, 10, 15 years, right? So stay the course.
Are there any potential risks long term associated with the Bank of Canada's decision to hold the interest rate steady, either for the economy at large or just for individual investors?
Potentially. I think when I think about things staying exactly as they are now, I think a lot about, you know, fixed income earners, like pensioners who don't have indexing in the pension. You know, it's not getting bigger and bigger every year. They've got to make some adjustments on their day-to-day spending. So I think, like, they'll feel some pressure. But I don't think it can stay the same forever. And, I mean, there's pros and cons to every situation. This is some of the best savings rates we've seen in a very long time. Stock market is still performing well. Even during inflation, stock does hold, probably because some of the top 10 holdings in a lot of your portfolios are Apple, Microsoft, computer software companies, pharmaceutical companies. We're all still using them regardless of how expensive other commodities have gotten.
Alrighty, Reagan, tell us about the services you offer at Pinkney Financial and how you can help people manage their money.
I would say it's advice on long-term savings. We're, you know, helping people achieve, if you want to save that down payment for a house, if you want to retire at 55, we'll tell you how to do it and how you can invest to meet those goals. But we really focus on pensions and long-term planning.
That's good to hear. Reagan Gale, Senior Financial Advisor with Pinkney Financial. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, thanks, Ryan. It's been a pleasure to be chatting with you again. Thanks so much.
Awesome, Reagan. Well, thank you so much for the time here on Fort McMurray Matters.
Thanks, Ryan.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to my guests for taking the time to join me on the show today. We'll be back with more tomorrow on Fort McMurray Matters, so I hope you can stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining us on Fort McMurray Matters today. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Have yourself a good day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.